Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Moving on. We continue our study of the book of Ecclesiastes, and as you know, we are in chapter 11, and we're getting very close to the end of the book. We won't be here a whole lot longer, because we are about halfway through chapter 11, and then, of course, we have chapter 12, but both of these chapters, 11 and 12, are two of the shortest chapters in the entire book. In fact, you could put them together to make a chapter about the size, the average size of the other chapter. So you might consider chapter 12 to be an extension of chapter 11, and in which case we are getting very, very close to the end. Six of one, half a dozen of the other, of course, either way you slice it. But the point is that we have made our way through most of the book, and we are coming down to the parts that are related to the conclusion. We really are getting to the bottom of what Solomon is trying to tell us here in this book that can be very puzzling and difficult and mysterious if we don't understand what Solomon is doing. And so the vanity, all is vanity, and the parts of the book that are troublesome to some people really begin to make sense when you understand that the vanity, all is vanity applies to those who approach life from the standpoint of worldly wisdom and ignore the wisdom of God. But there is another way to live life, namely to apply the wisdom of God to your everyday living. And those who do that find the very opposite. They don't find life to be empty. They find it to be joyful and fulfilling and a wonderful prelude to the life to come. Which is not to say that everything in life is going to be hunky-dory. Do you remember that phrase? That probably dates me. That goes way back. But not everything in life is going to be hunky-dory, even to the child of God who's living according to the wisdom of God. But life is a gift from God, and if it is lived with eternity's values in view, which is to say, lived with God's approval and God's instructions foremost in our minds, a life that is lived for the glory of God instead of for self, then it will be a very satisfying, very fulfilling, very, very wonderful life upon the earth, in spite of the difficulties, challenges, and hardships, of which there will be plenty, but they will all be faced with faith in God, and the help of His Word and the help of His Spirit, and they really aren't an overcoming difficulty. They are rather just another way to learn more about the God that we love and trust and serve. And so, wisdom for everyday living is what we're talking about in chapter 11, and we need to get on to that, so thank you for joining me on this Monday, February 8, and thank you for remembering that we do need the help of radio listeners in order to continue this ministry on the station. Joyful living, how to enjoy life in a fallen world, is the basic theme of chapter 11. And we have seen section 1, wisdom with money. We've already covered that. That basically tells us that we need to learn to give generously. A surprising bit of advice, I suppose, in regard to money. You're looking for tips on investment, tips on management, tips on how to increase your money. And God says the way to increase it is to give it away. Really, That's what this says. I can't go back to it now. But that really is what he tells us. That's wisdom with money, and that will bring joy in life. That will enable you to enjoy life in a fallen world if you learn to handle your money God's way. Now, I probably ought to pause at this point and say that means taking everything into account, including the fact that God's people are to be faithful in paying their debts, in paying their genuine obligations. They are to take care of their family. There are a lot of instructions in God's Word. So when we talk about giving generously, we're not saying that you take money that God has entrusted into your care for other purposes, such as feeding your family and taking care of these temporal needs of life, and giving that away. I've known some people that were like that, very careless, very foolish, foolishly idealistic, that if I just give all my money to the church, if I give all my money to the poor, if I give all my money away, then God's going to take care of all his obligations. He's going to pay the rent. He's going to buy the food. He's going to make the car payment. He's going to take care of these other things if I just give all my money away. Wrong! That's not what this is talking about. But what it is talking about is learning how to invest your money in eternity, learning how to give generously of that which God has given to you, having a real desire to give, to be a giver, not a taker, to be a giver, not a hoarder, to be one who delights in giving to God and giving to the cause of the gospel and giving to legitimate and genuine needs of others with out of the resources that God has given you, finding ways to give some part of that. And as you do that faithfully, God is going to increase your ability to give. That's what this section is saying. That's what it's taught in Ecclesiastes 11, verses 1 and 2, and it's reinforced by teaching in the New Testament. That is exactly what the Bible says. If you are willing to give, have a desire to give, and demonstrate that that is a genuine desire, God is going to enable you to give. And for God to enable you to give, that means he's going to have to entrust you with more than enough to take care of the basic necessities of life. I said I wasn't going to return to this section on wisdom and giving, but somehow I felt like I really needed to do that. I'll read these verses again, chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. That's the statement. And if you were listening to the broadcast back when we were dealing with that section, I told you a couple of different ways that people interpret it, but I also told you that I'm convinced it is talking about giving. As you give generously, God is going to return that giving to you. It's going to come back to you. Obviously not back from the person that you gave it to. It's not, you're not going to give it to the church and get it back from the church. You're not going to give it to a missionary and get it back from that missionary. You're not going to give it to a poor person and get it back from that poor person. But when you give with the right heart motive, and what you're really doing is giving to God, but you're giving to God in those areas of need that God has set before you and has given you directions to involve yourself in. And as you are faithful to give to God, guess what? It comes back. God brings it back. God brings it back in abundance. If you sow bountifully, you shall reap also bountifully. That's what the Bible teaches. And it's just basically telling us that for those who have a genuine, heartfelt desire to give, God will make sure that you've got plenty to give. God will give you a surplus beyond your needs so that you will have a surplus to give. Now, if God gives you a surplus and you suddenly soak it up by by increasing what you need. Oh, I've got to have this. I've got to have that. It's real easy. We had a saying that most of us understand, that his money is burning a hole in his pocket. I think I remember my parents saying something like that when I was a kid, and if I got a hold of some money, it seemed like my childish impulse was, I've got to go out and spend it right away. I've got it. I've got to go do something with it right now. It's burning a hole in my pocket. I can't keep it there. Well, that is a childish impulse. And as we mature, we learn to view it differently. If I have a surplus, I don't have to spend that on myself. I don't have to buy a bigger house. I don't have to drive a newer car. I don't have to buy new clothes. I don't have to expand what I claim to be my needs. It's funny how people are living on a certain income and making it. It might be tight, but they're making it. Everything's fine. Everything's paid for. Everything's taken care of. They're managing it well. They've learned how to do that by the grace of God. And then they get an increase in income and a raise in salary, a new job, or some other source of income that God provides for them. And it's amazing how many times that it doesn't take but just a short while until the monthly bills have expanded to soak up all of that surplus. That's the problem. And if God gives you a surplus so that you can be generous in your giving, but instead you direct that all toward your own wants, then that's not what this text is talking about. That's not wisdom with money. That's not claiming the promise that he who sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You've got the whole idea upside down. I remember, just to give you an illustration, years ago, when my wife and I realized that if we had a car payment — we haven't had one now for many years, but this goes back in the early days when we were struggling — if we had a car payment and we were making it each month, even if it was tight, when the car was paid off, then we could take the money that had been going toward the car payment, let's say, just throw out a hypothetical $300 a month, and put that into savings. Obviously, we could. We are continuing to live on exactly the same amount, the same budget. If we had $300 to make a car payment last month and the car payment is now gone, clearly we've got $300 to put into savings this month. So why don't we do it? Why can't we do it? Well, a lot of people can't. As soon as that extra money gets freed up, they've got to find a way to spend it. Sometimes they even go looking for something, but somehow it just gets soaked up and absorbed. And now it takes $300 more a month to meet their regular obligations than it did last month. Something wrong with that picture. There's a better way. There's a wiser way to manage your money and to learn how to reap God's blessing in return. So take that to heart, and until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.